Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Phoenix, Arizona, it's time for Phoenix Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Welcome to Phoenix Business Radio, broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studio inside Max 6 Workspace and the Conscious Capitalism Arizona headquarters in Tempe, Arizona, where we help build businesses and connect you with the right people. I'm Karen Nowicki, and we have a full house today. Very excited to introduce you to three business owners and entrepreneurs, beginning with David Hepburn Jr., owner of Mentoring Your Success. He's the gentleman responsible for all of us gathering today. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Thank you so much for the invitation. Really looking forward to this.
I'm excited. And as we do with most business owners and entrepreneurs, we say, listen, who runs in the same circle with you? Who would be able to come and who would you want to share the spotlight with? And in this case, David invited Laura Levine, pastry chef, baker, and owner of Because Baked Goods LLC. Welcome.
Good morning.
Happy to have you.
It's a pleasure to be here and not in the kitchen.
Ah, nice little break for you. Okay, well, good. We'll have to let you linger then. And Bill Babin, producer and drummer with BigZephyrMusic.com. Welcome, sir.
It's great to be here. Thank you.
I'm thrilled to have all of you. So let's just jump in. Let's have a conversation, first of all, about each of your businesses. And then I'd love to, at some point, talk a little bit about how you all know each other. David, would you start for us? Who is Mentoring Your Success, and what business owners, and what do you help people do?
Well, I am a results-driven strategic business mentor and coach, and I've been doing this since 1999. Runs the gamut as far as clients go, from our guests here today to DJs, photographers. I'm currently working with a social media expert, and just helping them grow their business.
Very good. It sounds like a lot of creatives, a lot of folks who are very creative and business-minded as well, and helping bring that all forward.
A lot of people who start a business because they love what they do. However, they don't have any business background. And that's really where I come in and help them understand the foundation that needs to be built so that they can really expand on what they do best.
Very good. Well, I'm thrilled to learn more. Laura, how about you? Tell us about yourself and your business.
I actually have a degree in supply chain and materials management, and I spent 25 years in corporate America. And after laying off hundreds of people and spending 90 hours a week, I said, you know what? I'm going to do this for myself. So I laid myself off and went to culinary school, and I started Because Baked Goods 7 years ago. So.
And you're over that 7 year. You're over that 7 year hump, that hurdle, right?
I am, and the whole thing is, I want to be creative and I want to play with your food.
Oh my gosh, love it! And I know you mentioned that you are Old Town Scottsdale area. Is the shop? Do you have an actual bakery as well?
It's home based under Arizona cottage law. Everything I do is custom made to order and delivered.
Oh, perfect. And I know we're going to get into talking a little bit about who the baked goods go to and why it's so important to give that as a gift and all that good stuff. So very good. And so this is a second act for you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. This radio gig is, I don't know, like a fourth or fifth act for me. I think when we become entrepreneurs, we begin to pivot and shift and continue to kind of listen for where we're being called to really serve. And I'd love to hear that you've done that for yourself. Great. Bill, how about you? The music man.
Well, Big Zephyr is a live music company, so we offer as little as just one musician or all the way up to 8 or 9 musicians, so we can meet the needs of almost any kind of event or any kind of client. Rock and roll, pop, country, disco, Motown, everything in between, and lots of fun.
I saw all the genres that you cover, and so it's a variety of sizes as well. So
And
are these for corporate events and family events, weddings? Like who do you play music for? Yes, to all.
Yes.
Whoever needs some great music, you guys can take care of that.
Yeah, we do a lot of work in the 55 and over active adult communities, but we're also a festival band and a private party event band as well.
And how long have you been doing this?
Well, I've been playing music my whole life, but this is also like a sort of a second, third act for me as well. So,
did you do something besides music in your
effort
at some point? Yeah. Are you willing to tell us that
really
tale?
You really want that tale?
We've got time.
Okay. We're going to keep it a little brief.
Yes.
But I started out as a drummer and played professionally in New Orleans when I was very, very young. And then because it just didn't quite work out, I ended up in college and loved college and got a master's degree in English because I wanted to become an English teacher. That also changed and didn't work out. And I had developed an interest in martial arts along the way. And I spent, well, I'm still active in martial arts, but my wife and I owned an academy and we taught martial arts here in Mesa for 35 years. So I really spent a very large portion of my professional life as a professional martial arts instructor, teaching self-defense and that kind of stuff. And that's been really, really wonderful. And then playing music at the same time. But I do consider this my Colonel Sanders moment.
I love that.
All right. So we sold our business 3 years ago, and I have been, I actually really got the music business going around 2005, the way it is right now in terms of a band and playing for these kinds of events.
So you were working both for a while there.
Yeah, we've been working both for quite a while. But we sold the karate business in 2016, and now this is the going all the way. So
yeah. Oh my gosh. I now understand why you brought both these folks with you, David. Fantastic. I love the Colonel Sanders moment. I think I'm a little bit younger than Colonel Sanders was when he finally hit that stride, but I feel like that's it for me as well. Started off in education and now, you know, I'm here.
And this is really interesting because I've known Bill for about 5 or 6 years and I never knew he had a master's in English.
Well, there you go.
Because so do I.
Oh, that's interesting.
And I was also going to be a teacher. But that didn't work either.
Yeah. I was a teacher in Kyrene School District for years, third grade, and was the advanced to the assistant principal role quicker than anybody had it, at least at that point. And when I got into that role, we were in partnership with Intel for that particular school site, which is the first of its kind back in the early 90s. And during the summer, 2 summers, I got to work at Intel. And it was a paid internship just to become more business-minded as it relates to public education, which is clearly so important. Kind of to David's point, when we are passionate and a technician at something, we've got to have some business sense as well. Otherwise, the business is likely not going to go where we want it to go. But I love teaching. But when I got that idea or that feeling of being in business for myself and being able to be strategic and manage projects as well as people, I, you know, didn't work out for me as well. I left the district shortly after and have been in business for myself ever since. You know, again, trying to pivot and find my way. There's been lots of different variations of my career. But, and thank goodness for people like you, David, who help guide us through those decisions as business owners. How long do you work with your clients and how do most people come to you? Is it referral based? Do you get out there and do some speaking or marketing?
It's a combination of both. I normally work with a client anywhere from 9 to 14 months. I figure if I can't teach them everything I know in that time, there's something wrong with me or they're a bad learner. And what I really do is try to find where they're missing the boat. I have a process that's called Close the Gap, and it's 14 key performance indicators that we judge your business on. And at the end of going through that, you'll know exactly what you need to work on to get your business up to where it needs to be. And so from that standpoint, you know, there are a lot of people that don't have any idea who their ideal client is, you know, so we need to work on that. There are a lot of people that don't even write down business goals.
Right.
You know, so a whole bunch of things that people really need to build the foundation for the business, especially if they've been doing the business for 3 or 4 years and really not getting it where they want it to be.
And a question I'd imagine people ask when they're first considering you as a coach and a guide is, how is this going to help me money? Because clearly I'm going to pay you money to help me grow in my business. But, you know, can I count on it helping me get to a point where my business is lucrative and I can see the ROI in it? Can you speak to that a little bit?
Absolutely. How I help my clients make more money is I help them see opportunities that they may not have seen. I help them do their business better so that they can get better clients. It lasts longer. Well, for instance, with my special friend, Laura, here, who makes wonderful goodies. And I probably have about 10 pounds of goodies due to Laura. When we started, she was trying to be everything to everybody and not charging her value, which is a big issue with small business owners.
Particularly in women, huh?
Absolutely.
Yep, Laura's nodding her head. Yes, yep, we get it.
And so those are the first things that we started talking about. You know, you're not going to lose your clients when you raise your prices. You know, that's the whole fear. Oh, I'm going to lose my clients. When in fact, you get better clients at higher rates and you don't have to work as hard.
Yes. Excellent point. Laura, you're nodding your head as well. Can you speak a little bit about that relationship with the two of you?
Absolutely. I mean, when I first started, when I met David, I was had a minimum order of $15 and I delivered anywhere in the valley for no charge. And when I found myself delivering a $15 order an hour and a half one way into Santan, I'm like, this is just not this is stupid.
The love of it kind of starts to wane a little bit, doesn't it?
And when you first start out in your own business, you know, you want any order. You're desperate for orders and you'll take anything and you'll put up with anything. But after you spend time with David, you'll realize you have to know who your ideal client is. You have to be willing to divorce the clients that are high maintenance and create, you know, take so much of your time. And after 7 years, it's really nice to be at the point where I can say, yeah, I'll do your order. No, I really don't want to do your order. Not that I don't want to, but I always refer them to somebody else. But it has given me a whole different perspective on how to run my business for me, as opposed to trying to just please people.
Yes. And just get yourself out there.
Yep.
Yeah. I'm very familiar with all the things you both have described as a struggle as a business owner.
And divorcing clients. I have a thing that I tell every client that I work with is at the end of the year, fire your bottom 20%.
Really?
Because they're taking 80% of your time.
I just got goosebumps hearing that.
It's exhilarating to do.
And don't be mean about it. In fact, refer it to your competition and let them deal with that. But because what it'll do, it opens up the space and allows you to get your ideal clients.
I have fired clients, and it is exhilarating, but I've just done it kind of done one-offs when I just know that, you know, when I'm looking at my phone and I see their name come up, I'm like, oh my goodness, like I just can't even bring myself to pick up the phone and deal with this. And I felt great. I didn't always have the revenue right there behind it, but trusting, to your point earlier, David, once you can actually let go, then you leave it open to somebody else coming who's going to obviously better, the universe is bringing someone better, more, you know, more aligned with us. But I've never heard that advice before.
Well, the universe abhors a vacuum. And so if you buy a lot of clothes, get rid of some clothes and all of a sudden you'll find new clothes show up in your
What clothes that actually fit and look good on us, right? What's that new lady's name who does all that organizing, the Marie Kondo or whatever? I don't even know what it's called, but look at you. You're even a wardrobe organizer. No. But to your...
I have worked with people who are organizers, so I do have some...
I believe it.
Some interest in there. But too often we hang on to these clients because we think that they're all we're going to get. And you got to get rid of them because they're wasting all your time.
And to the point of joking about the wardrobe, we hang on to that pair of jeans, or I shouldn't say we, I hang on to that pair of jeans thinking at some point I'm going to fit back into them. And the truth is, I'm really not. And if I were to, they're probably going to be so out of style and date anyway. So not unsimilar, just let them go. Mm-hmm. Let them go. They would have to force a fit.
Yeah.
And there's no reason to hang on to that extra baggage.
You can sell them on Swip Swap as vintage.
Right, exactly. And I have. I have. Can we do that with clients too? For sale, one, you know, high maintenance, high difficulty client. Yours for a low, low price. Oh my gosh, Bill.
I got to jump in on the price thing because this is a particular point with David and it's still not resolved, David, okay? But I've got to point to how that's part of our relationship. So you have a service or a product and you put yourself out there and generally you're alone. So you have some idea or you may have some idea what your competition is and what they charge. And, you know, but, you know, like Laura said, you know, you want any client, you want anything at all so you can be out there. And it's really, really difficult to establish a value without somebody outside you coaching you a little bit. Because there's just too much of your personal, your heart and your personal experience and maybe your financial situation mortgages and car payments and everything else. There's just too much of this stuff that's also in there fighting for attention. I met David, I think it was longer, David. I think it's 5 or 6 years ago. And one of the first things he said was, no thought lives in your mind rent free.
I saw that on his website.
And, you know, this concept connects to so many other teachings that I've been studying for many, many years. You know, as a man thinketh, so is he. Whatever you focus on grows. It's all basically the same thing. So when I heard that, I'm going, I think I need to talk to David. All right. And then, you know, one of the things that he really helped me with is the pricing thing. And I'm still dealing with it, but I wouldn't be where I am today if we spent 12 months together. I mean, in a very regular relationship. Okay. And it's just important if you're an entrepreneur to try to connect with people, not just people in your industry, like other musicians or other bakers, but also with somebody who's more connected to business systems.
Yes.
Because we all kind of have a passion and a mission, but that has to exist side by side with business systems that include everything from finances and administration to marketing and social media and everything else.
One of the things that I try to work with all my clients is to help them develop systems for their business. See, because the key is, if you can develop the systems, you don't have to run your business. The systems run the business. And all you have to do is make sure that those systems are working properly. But as far as no thought lives in your mind rent free.
Yeah, speak to that.
That actually comes from T. Harv Eker, who's one of my coaches. And I have a couple coaches, and I've worked with a lot of different people. So all of this just doesn't come from me, but it comes from a lot of people that are out there, you know, making a big difference in the world.
I love that saying. I remember seeing that when I was preparing for our time together today. And it's the first time I have seen that particular phrase, but how appropriate is it?
It is. And a lot of things that I deal with when I'm dealing with clients is helping them get rid of the thoughts that they have that aren't paying them. You know,
and then moving into action towards the activities that are going to create revenue.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But we all carry with us a head full of
trash.
A head full of trash.
Yep.
That's why I describe myself as a head trash remover.
You know. Perfect. Also perfect.
And I really try to help people understand that you may have this belief, but is it true? How often do you ask yourself, are the things that I believe true? And once you start going down that path, then you really start to see, maybe that isn't right. Maybe money does grow on trees.
Yeah, why couldn't we believe that?
Well, I mean, we've been told since we were little kids. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, our mothers were wonderful, but they were terrible for business. Because what was the first thing mom ever said? Don't talk to strangers.
Right.
Well, if I didn't talk to strangers, we wouldn't be here today.
Right. Yeah, that doesn't help us in business.
Right. No. And, you know, money doesn't grow on trees, or, you know, all these different thoughts that mom put in our head, yeah, need to be reexamined.
Yeah.
Hey, it could have been dad too.
Yes.
Well, okay, not blaming mom.
That's right. Way to go, Laura. Yes. But truly, the stories that the decisions we make as children growing up, whether it is parents or it's neighbors or a teacher or an older sibling, we make decisions about ourselves, don't we? As human beings and or business owners. And unless we have someone to challenge that thinking and have us go back and look, so, well, what makes that true?
Right.
You know?
And is it true? Just because we believe it doesn't necessarily make it true, but we think that it's true because we believe it.
I bet you have several stories of clients where, when you've had that conversation, and probably multiple times, do you see the light bulb go off and they probably just sit back and the weight's lifted and you know that they're off to the races, I would imagine.
That's what I live for. I mean, that's
that
really why I coach is when I can show somebody something and they go, I get it. Now it makes sense.
Yeah. Very good.
I remember when I first started working with David, we were talking about pricing issues. And, you know, I, having 25 years in business, I thought I knew what I was doing and I felt really confident about it. And he started challenging all these beliefs and I was very resistant and I pushed back really hard. But a perfect example is the cupcake pricing. I'm like, nobody in their right mind is going to pay $36 or even $30 for cupcakes. I can't charge that. And he goes, yes, you can. I'm like, no, I wouldn't pay $30 for a dozen cupcakes. He goes, you're not buying them.
Yeah, you're not your ideal client.
You're the person that doesn't know how to bake. You have to remember that you're delivering them for free. So there's, you know, they aren't going to the store. They aren't buying the ingredients. And you're creating a service that they don't have or don't have the skill to do. And that took me probably 3 years before I actually succumbed to the suggestion. But now it's like, it's no problem. It took a long time. But David's really good at challenging those beliefs and pushing you through being your own worst enemy in terms of how you approach your business.
And then after you practice and you have that conversation with a handful of clients, it does become easier, doesn't it? And now, like, okay, I can really sit in the power of this price point because not only did David believe in me, but now I believe in me.
Yeah. Well, and another thing about Laura is, and I've been pounding her for a while on this, is that everything she does is done 24 hours before delivery. So this isn't something that she's got 100 cupcakes waiting for somebody
to order. It's custom. Yep.
Absolutely.
And there's great value in that.
Yeah. And it's not like going down to Fry's and buying a 12 cupcakes or whatever, because it comes from, what she does it and is done 24 hours before delivery.
So now I'm hung up on cupcakes. And I just say that jokingly, but I would love to hear a little bit more about being a pastry chef and baking and what do you bake and who are your customers and how can we continue to put the word out for you if you are looking to grow and expand?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, if you're not looking to grow and expand, then you're either collecting unemployment or you're retired. As David said, when I first started 7 years ago, I was everything to everybody. And I'm in the process of redoing my website and rebranding and trying to narrow down and focus on what I really want to do. And it's interesting because we're in a networking group and one of the young millennials who does social media and digital advertising was having a conversation with me the other day. And he goes, well, you know, before you do your website, you really should let me do all this research and let me tell you what they want and what they're going to buy. And you might be advertising cakes and maybe all the clients want cookies. And he went on and on, and I stopped him in his tracks, and I said, you know what? I'm 60 years old. I'm going to retire in a couple of years. I'm going to bake what I want to bake, and I don't care what those people want. They'll find it somewhere else. So with that in mind, for me, it's a creative outlet. I don't do anything with yeast breads. I don't do pies. I send people to Costco. I buy pumpkin pie at Costco because it's like the best
delicious.
You can find, and it's really good. I wish they sold it year-round. But I focus on corporate food gifting. So as I tell people, you know, anybody can take bagels to a meeting or send popcorn through the mail to a client. But if you're going to spend the money to do food gifting, to either get your food and your foot in the door or thank an existing client, you want it to be memorable. And something as simple as when you send food to a client, it usually has your business card and maybe a note and the receptionist sees it. But once it gets passed to the back office, all these people are eating it. They have no idea where it came from. So, you know, do something unique. Like my biggest seller are these goofy little mini bite-sized caramel apples on toothpicks. I did over 100,000 of them in my first 4 years of business.
Oh no, Bill is having a heart attack because he's tasted them and he loves them, hey?
Yes. And then I stopped counting after 100,000, but I put your logo on the toothpick flag so that when it goes to the back office, your logo is on every piece and every person who eats it is getting your advertising.
Brilliant.
I drive
Tell them
around
about the sugar that you can do the same thing on the cookies.
Oh, the edible sugar images. I can put any picture or image or logo on a cake or a cupcake or a cookie, and we're moving into graduation season, and I have an entire video that I did where I'm talking about putting kids' resumes on graduation cakes, and I deliver it to their employer of choice so that we're kicking kids out of the house one cake at a time.
Oh, I love it.
So you just have to get creative with it. But you want it to be memorable. I mean, people are like, well, what's with the tie-dye jacket?
I was just going to ask, as you're talking about being memorable and really standing out, clearly you're gorgeous. You've got this beautiful blue hair and this blue baker's, what do you call that?
The chef's
jacket.
You want to be memorable. So you want your food to be memorable. I have a client who has sent popcorn tins to her customers every year forever. Never heard one from them.
I was going to say, because everybody else is doing that.
Yeah. So we did mini caramel apples 3 years ago. We made 52 deliveries for her the week before Christmas to all of her clients. And every single client called her. She said, I will never go back. So she's been a three-year client. We do something different every year. But it's memorable. I mean, the second year we did apples, and I remember walking into some of the same places doing deliveries, and I'm walking out, we hear in the background, yay, she sent apples again. You don't get that with popcorn,
no.
You know? So it's all a matter of making it different, making it unique, and making it memorable.
Well, and Bill has just instituted with his band, they're doing, I just went blank on her name.
Linda?
Linda Ronstadt tribute.
Oh,
so
fun.
They're going out and just playing all the Linda Ronstadt songs.
And I'm doing my best to make that memorable. But I got a good memorable story for you.
Okay? Go for it.
So I must admit that I picked this up from somebody else somewhere along the line. But that's what you do, right?
Yes, we do.
You just, it's like, wow, man, I saw this guy do this. And it was just amazing. And all it is an inflatable guitar. Okay, it's a toy guitar, except you get the big one, and it's like 48 inches, all right? And it's a balloon, and it's got rock and roll written on it, whatever. Okay, so I started bringing these to the shows, and I started putting out toy tambourines and cowbell and other things like this. I do it so much now. And we have all this interaction with the audience and, you know, get the guitars, you know, and when I'm working with a new crowd, I'll try to get somebody that I can get as my assistant to start the thing going, you know. Somebody asked me recently when they were, you know, we were doing the contract, are you going to bring the guitars?
Where is that in the contract?
You know, are you going to bring the guitars? Yes.
Because it's participation, right? It's an experience.
That, okay. That is our trademark. And
Bill?
If you go to our Facebook page right now, you can see some pictures of people doing it right now.
You need to charge more for the guitars.
Yeah.
Look at that. It's a coaching moment, people. I love it.
It's a rider.
Absolutely.
Guitars.
Yeah, yes. It's an add-on.
Yeah, add-on.
I love it. But that really, I love that you shared that because that speaks to who you are, not only as a musician, but also an entertainer and why people continue to invite you back.
Yeah. And I want to say thanks, Chuck, for the idea.
Very good. I love that.
Know.
No original idea, right? I mean, we've already quoted a couple different people who've influenced us in our businesses and our lives. Oh my gosh. So many questions for me running through my mind. You mentioned that you guys are in a networking group together. Are you willing to give them a shout out and tell us who you spend time with? Oh, all three of you, huh?
Absolutely. Yeah. I was hoping to have the guy who put the group together with us today, but he's working.
Sure.
But we all belong to
Yes, you are. You're marketing.
We all belong to a group called Event Ensemble.
Oh.
And it's a group for event people who do corporate events, weddings, any kind of event. And there are 1,200 plus members. It's a Facebook group, but it also meets every Thursday somewhere in the valley.
In Event Ensemble.
Yeah.
I've never heard of that group before.
Yeah. And Thursday, the first Thursday is in Scottsdale. Second Thursday is in Phoenix, the third Thursday is in Mesa, and the fourth Thursday is in Peoria.
Wonderful.
And so we meet with other event people, and one event person talks, and Scott Faber, who runs the group, he usually speaks. And it's just a good opportunity to get interaction, and that's actually where we all met.
Yeah. So I got to say something.
Okay.
It really is a wonderful group. If you're an entrepreneur, networking is pivotal to your success. The thing that's unique about, well, I'm not 100% positive it's unique, but the thing that's good about this group is Scott's basic principle is networking is not selling. You know, he's a leader, but he's very much of a laid-back leader, okay? We all get to talk. We all get to contribute. But it's not that we're selling to each other. I actually missed like 3 months of meetings, and the last one that we had up in Starfire was the most recent one that I went to. And I said, the thing I missed the most is your support.
Yes.
Is the fact that when I'm here the people in the group are willing to share with me their own circumstances, their difficulties, and I can share that with them. And I know that they have an empathy, a real empathy for where I am as an entrepreneur. That's a thing that's attracted me to the group and why I'm still in it. Because, yeah. You know, you just can't, you're out there alone, entrepreneur. That's, you know, and these guys do it in terms of supporting each other. And Scott's leads the way on that.
Thank you for sharing that. That's perfect.
The reason I'm in the group is because I'm Scott's coach.
Oh, perfect.
But he doesn't allow non-event people in the group.
Except for David Heppern Jr.
Well, and maybe an insurance person. And
yeah,
maybe,
very protective, it right, sounds like, of right, this unique opportunity for people to collaborate, to share, yes, to learn, to yeah, grow together.
But to Bill's point about Scott being laid back, Scott's a DJ. And he does a tremendous job. But in our Facebook page, people are constantly asking for who's a good DJ, you know, who's going to do baking, yeah, how about music. It's not all these opportunities go to Scott because he doesn't really even push himself hard enough in the group. Mm-hmm. There are probably 30 DJs in the group. And the whole idea of having that many of the same industry, same business, is that finding the right one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Scott,
we are not a good fit for everybody, are we?
Exactly, yes, exactly. And yeah, and that's how Laura does her special things with the apples and the cupcakes. And she does the cakes occasionally, but that's not her main point.
Mm-hmm. It was actually a lifesaver for me because I got to know most of the other bakers in the group. And I had a family situation with my mom where I had to go back east for like the better part of 3 years. And I couldn't turn down my clients, but I would make sure that I referred them to somebody else within the group. And for example, there's a lady by the name of Sue Jacobs who has her own bake shop. She's a master baker and she's in Gilbert. And I tell people, if you want the wedding cake off the cover of a magazine, you want Sue Jacobs. If you want the Death Star from Star Wars, I'm your person. But you get to know the people and refer the people. And I also want to mention, Bill has this amazing thing he calls carpool FaceTime, because we don't call it networking. We call it FaceTime with each other, where mm-hmm, you spend and you really get to know the person. And we get in a car, and you drive around in your car, and he interviews you, and he records it, and it gets posted, and it's so
that's
much fun.
On behalf of the networking group.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, it's, you know, a la James Corden.
I love it. It's perfect. Yeah.
But we have a great time.
It's a lot of fun.
I'm going to have to go look for that.
I also want to mention, too, that David has is responsible for me getting to be aware of and know about 7 other networking groups. So
that are a good fit for you.
Right, right. So yeah, it's not just yeah, about Event Ensemble. It's a matter of how he shares his expertise and his knowledge with everybody that he comes in contact with.
The group that we belong to, Laura and I, is called Strategic Networking Partners. And it meets every Monday at the mezzanine level of Paradise Valley Mall. And I think we have about 47 members.
Wow.
Currently. So the group is doing really, really well. And it's a good opportunity for Laura to do her food gifting because everybody there is her client.
Ah, perfect. Yeah. Great. Mm-hmm. My goodness. What else do I want to ask? Drumming. You mentioned you've been doing it since you were a kid. I wanted to be a drummer, and talk about the stories our parents sometimes leave us. My mom said that was a boy instrument, and I had to learn to play the piano, which, by the way, I hated and was not very good at, so I quit. I wanted, and it's still the sound of percussion. It just, like, my whole body vibrates, right? So tell us, how did you land with becoming a drummer, even though you've known it probably for a very long time?
Probably fifth grade, 1964. So 1964 is when the Beatles appeared on Ed Sullivan.
Yeah.
All right. So shortly after that, I got a transistor radio and started listening to WTIX in New Orleans, Louisiana. And so I was just taken away by the music, and I thought I wanted to play guitar. So I forced my mother to buy me a guitar. Thank you, Mom. From Sears, out the Sears catalog.
Of course.
Dating yourself now.
Yeah. And other instruments as well? Did you ever dabble in anything else?
I stumbled around over that for 2 months, and then it sat in the corner of the bedroom for the next 10, 12 years, because I very quickly discovered that I couldn't keep my fingers still. And as a matter of fact, I was I was going to start doing that. And I go, no, I can't hit the microphone like that. And I just sort of stumbled into it. All of a sudden, the songs and my hands matched up completely. So I was pounding out the rhythm just continuously. And that's how I got connected. And then it was forced my mom to buy me a drum set. Thank you, Mom.
Uh-huh.
And she did. And it was nonstop after that. So
love it. How about you? I don't know that I asked you, how did you find yourself? You've been coaching and mentoring since 99, you said, and before that, right? So there was a before that.
there was a before. Where do I start? The before, after getting my master's from the University of Minnesota in English, I started working for Foot Locker in their management training program. And after a year, I got my own store. I was in the store that had the first $1 million year in Minnesota in 1980. I asked them to transfer me to California, where my folks had moved in 1982, and they wouldn't transfer me as a manager. They said, well, you have to go as an assistant and work your way back up again. And so I quit. It didn't hurt that year from the beginning of January 1st to January 14th, it hadn't gotten above zero in Minnesota. So I packed up my car and
I'm out.
Drove to Santa Cruz, where my folks lived, moved into their basement, was loving life. About 3 months later, my mom said, are you going to get a job?
As any good mother would.
Yeah. And I said, no, Mom, this works great. I found a job working for Runner's World magazine and selling advertising over the phone. Talk about an interesting job. After a couple of years, became the director of sales there. 4 years later, the publisher's wife caught him in bed, another woman. And so he had to sell the publication, which was bought by Rodale Press, which is in Philadelphia. So I was offered a 6-month severance or a free trip to Philadelphia.
And you?
Took the money. And at that time started a marketing and promotions business.
So you really have this breadth of knowledge from sales to business acumen to management and everything in between. Yeah. And even some of that time off at my mom's basement thinking, this is the bomb. Well, this is what I want to be doing.
That was, you know, going to the beach, playing basketball at the university and, you know, just having a good time.
Well, and to that point, I say that kind of jokingly, but we have to take time off from our business, don't we? I know sometimes I'm in the grind. This is a startup. I'm only not even 2 years into it. It'll be June. And this is a sixth or seventh business for me, not all of which have been successful. Fortunately, a couple were, which gave us the leverage for this and Mike's shop. Mm-hmm. But when I'm in the grind and I'm pressed up against a deadline or I'm wanting to hit these milestones, I don't feel like I can take a break. And I've learned that that's absolutely the time that I've got to pull away, whether it's a walk or playing in my garden or taking a vacation somewhere.
Absolutely.
Or simply just shutting it down and putting my phone away. Do you find that when you coach and work with folks, David, that you are also an encourager for, listen, you're making it happen and step away?
I think Laura can tell a great story about
that. She's smiling
that.
Again. Yeah? Are you willing to share that, Laura?
I'm not sure which one he's referring to. Yeah. But,
pick one.
You know, when I left corporate, I thought, oh, this will be a piece of cake compared to my 90-hour weeks. And I just turned it into my business. And I'm posted as open for business 7 days a week. And I work 7 days a week. And I answer the phone 7 days a week. And I told David, I said, you know, I have no life balance. It's just me and my kitchen and my dishes. And I said, I couldn't go to a movie. I couldn't go out to dinner. I couldn't do anything. And he said, you have to find the time for you. And I'm not sure what story you were thinking of.
About finally being able to take an hour off and go dancing?
Oh, yeah. Oh. Yeah. Yeah. I was an avid country western dancer and I hadn't been dancing in forever. And I felt so guilty, but after I did it, it just felt so good.
Good.
But you'd be proud of me, David, because now I'm doing something non-business every day.
Good for you.
Every day.
Really happy to hear that.
It only took 7 years.
Yeah. Well, I'm 2 years in and I keep thinking, okay, when I start to visualize what I want to be doing out here someday, I keep asking myself, well, why am I not doing this today, right? What could I do? I mean, I can't go take a trip to Europe or whatever yet, but where could I take a quick day trip? In fact, Monday was a quick day spa with my daughter and some of our friends, and it wasn't easy to take Monday off. In fact, I had to walk over to the resort and do a conference call with the studio partners. I'm like, hey, I'm speaking to you live from the Hyatt. But
But I got to take the day, the rest of the day. So kudos to you for making that commitment. I asked the gentleman kind of how they fell in love with what they do and what their backgrounds are. I would love to, I know you spoke to your career, but tell us about your baking story. Have you always loved to bake?
I always did. I started probably in junior high, and then in high school, I came across this thing called an apple pizza, and it's basically a flat 12-inch diameter pie that is basically a flat apple pie, and you cut it in the shape of pizza. And I couldn't make them fast enough for people. People actually still, when I posted on Facebook, my friends in New Jersey, like, hey, can you send me one? I used to bake quite a bit. And then towards the end of my corporate career, I got to the point where I could not sleep at all. And 2 o'clock every day, every morning, I would be baking every morning and taking it to Honeywell and feeding my staff. And they just like, hey, you know, we've all gained 10 pounds and we really wish you'd stop.
Please keep bringing it.
Yeah. So I always did the baking, and it was always very creative. But I don't like to do the same things over and over. Like, I have this baby butt cake, and it's just the baby's butt sticking out from under the blanket. And once you do one or two of those, you're done. You want to move on to something different. But I talked about these mini caramel apples, and it's a Granny Smith apple, and I use a melon baller, and I cut balls out. So there's a little piece of skin on each one. And it took me until about 2 years ago to realize that when I was in high school, I never liked apples, and I always had a Granny Smith apple, and I determined probably during some mind-altering parts of my youth that if you took your thumbnail and stuck it in an apple and turned the apple, it popped out this perfectly round little piece of apple. And that's how I used to eat my apples. And here it is 40 years later.
You're going, making that.
Wow, I'm selling these.
Yeah. Isn't that fascinating?
It just kind of blows my mind. So your whole life really is connected. And
it's
when you look back that it's kind of frightening.
That's a great story, though, because that really is true. And if we're so busy and so in the grind and so worried about that next sale, and we don't have a chance to sit back and reflect and go, oh my gosh, this originated all those years ago and I never made the connection.
And the aha moments are a lot of fun, because when I left Honeywell, it's like, okay, do I want to go to culinary school or do I want to go to massage school? And I decided if I'm going to get a massage, I want to get it. I don't want to give it.
Yes.
But I almost didn't go to culinary school because we had to wear these white jackets every day. My kids were like, you're not going to go because you have to wear white. And I said, I don't wear white clothes. Everything I touch, I wear. And it wasn't until about 6 months ago, I think when I was doing carpool FaceTime with Bill, that I realized that's why all my jackets are tie-dyed, because I can't wear white. But it was subconscious, and it came out in FaceTime with you and I.
So you remember that, Bill?
Yeah.
And so it's kind of a trademark, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
I tell people now, if people come up to me everywhere in where I don't know where they're from, and because of the hair, and it's like, I know who you are, but I cannot remember where I know you from. So I actually tell people in my networking groups, please, if you come up to me in public, tell me who you are.
Yeah.
Because it's an unfair advantage.
Yes. but it's a smart one, right, David?
Absolutely.
Very smart.
She stands out.
Yes.
Yes.
My gosh, this has been so fun to get to know each of you. I would love for us, kind of as we round up the segment, if and we'll start with David, if we could share maybe a parting advice or just a thought around business ownership and entrepreneurship. And then, of course, let us know tell our listeners where we can get a hold of you and what it's like to begin to see if they might be a good fit with you.
Okay. Learn to say no.
Yes.
No. No.
Bing, 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 bing. Good one.
My ex-wife, who is a wonderful woman, was an early employee at Apple Computer. The thing that most people don't realize is that the iPad sat on Jobs' desk for 5 years before they rang it out. Because at the time, they had the iPhone. And Jobs wanted all the software to be built for the iPhone before he put the iPad out. And at the time, there was a couple other, Lynn Newton was still out there, and there were several other iPad-type things put by other companies. But Jobs was strong enough to hold off. And then when he introduced the iPad, it's just amazing. So learn to say no.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure he had people nudging him and said, we're ready for this. And he's like, nope.
Yep.
Nope.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So, that's just a story I like to tell and let people understand that it's okay to say no.
Yes.
No. I did it again. I think why I keep doing that, there's a book out, and I can't remember who the author is, but it's the Year of Yes that a lot of my friends are reading. I think she's a producer or something like that in Hollywood. And I haven't read it yet, but they're all very excited about it because they're being called to try new things and that sort of thing. And for me, when I hear people talk about, you know, the Year of Yes for themselves, for me, it's the Year of Yes, but it's also the discerning no. Because I've got to continue to say no to certain things so that I can stay focused and I can begin to trust at a deeper level what I'm working towards.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So how can people get a hold of you? And what does that look like? Is it just a conversation if they're curious? They've listened today with this great success that Bill and Laura has shared and they're like, I want to get in front of David. What does that look like?
Yeah. Well, like I said, I offer something that I call Close the Gap, where we take about an hour and go through your business on these 14 key performance indicators and see where you're at. If after that time we decide to work together, great. If not, you have a roadmap so you know what you need to do to grow your business. I run a couple Facebook pages, my Mentoring Your Success on Facebook, and also Sales and Marketing Help for Business on Facebook. My website currently is being redone, so okay. I'm not going to throw that out there. But that's a good way to find me. I'm on LinkedIn. I'm kind of everywhere.
Alignable.
Yeah, I'm Alignable, yeah. Yes. Thank you to Alignable for this connection. Definitely.
Yeah, so great. All right. And so Mentoring Your Success on Facebook.
On Facebook.
Also look for David Hepburn Jr. on LinkedIn.
Right.
And then the other Facebook group.
Is Sales and Marketing Help for Business.
Well, that's an easy one.
Yeah. And there, I have about 600 members. And
wow.
The whole idea is every week I put two or three learning points out on sales and marketing.
Love that. So generous.
The other thing he didn't mention that has been incredibly valuable to me is David teaches these classes every month. What is it, the third
Thursday of every month I do a workshop. The one I'm doing tomorrow is on finding your ideal client because your ideal client 16 times more valuable than your normal client. Why wouldn't you look for them? But most people just say, oh, my client is anyone. Well, if you start the answer with anyone, you don't know who your ideal client
anybody.
Is.
Yeah. Excellent, Laura. Thank you for sharing that.
Laura.
Really great. One last question for you, David. This is a hyperlocal studio, right? We want to get people in the studio. We like this eyeball-to-eyeball conversation, but our listeners are worldwide, really, because it's internet radio and a podcast at the end of the day. Are you only working with Arizona local specific businesses, or are you available via, you know, webinar or whatever?
No, I've worked with clients in New York, Minnesota.
Okay.
California, so
Very
we
good.
Can do Skype or Zoom. Or,
and again, that lends to the whole Facebook groups and
absolutely.
Interacting with people like that through the internet. Very good. Thank you.
Though I do prefer the face-to-face because that's really where you get to see the whole body language, which is so important.
Yeah, I insist on Zoom conference calls when I'm working with our team, Business Radio X, and also with clients. I do the same thing because I want to see how we're responding, and it builds a relationship in a much stronger way.
Sure.
So good. Thank you again for bringing us all together today. I hope you've had a good time.
This has been wonderful. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Laura, how about you? How can we get a hold of you and find out about all of your wonderful baked goods?
The website is becausebakegoods.com. It has lots of pictures and all of my pricing, which most of my competitors don't do. But I find that it gives people a better idea before they make contact whether I'm the right person or not.
Yeah.
I'm doing a lot with Instagram these days, and a lot of people have, you know, negative things to say about Yelp, but Yelp has been very positive for me. Probably 80% of my out-of-state clients find me through Yelp because they want to send a birthday cake to their mother, or their son went to ASU and it's the first time he's away from home on his birthday and things like that. So I'm on Yelp, I'm on Facebook, Instagram, and the website primarily.
The name for Instagram and Facebook would also be Because Baked Goods, so that runs throughout.
Correct.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for sharing your knowledge and your wisdom and your talent. I'm excited to get on there, and my mind is already racing for gifts for all of our friends that are in businesses. Thank you so
Thank
much.
You.
Yes. Bill, how about you? Tell us about the Big Zephyr. Where can we find you?
The best place to find the greatest series of examples of what we do is on YouTube.
Makes sense.
So Just look for The Big Zephyr on YouTube. But you can do the same thing on Facebook. Lots of videos and samples there and our own website, BigZephyrMusic.com. And I will call attention to this device, which is called a telephone.
Feel free to call. How do we do that? Because I don't even know how to text anymore. No, just kidding. So you're open to please call and ask questions.
That's the best way
but
to do it.
Devil's advocate, spell Zephyr.
Oh, yeah.
Zephyr. Thank you very much, Laura.
Yes, very good, Laura. Thank you.
Yes.
And I want to make sure I don't miss an opportunity to ask either of you, and you don't have to, but do you have a parting thought, some wisdom that you would want to share? I know I got sidetracked there when David and I were chatting. Bill?
Yeah, I just like people to think about music. It is such an old form of human communication and so intimate. A grandparent sitting in the living room after dinner, singing a song, perhaps playing a guitar, perhaps playing the piano. There is something so unique and special about how humans communicate through song. And basically, I consider that that's what we're doing. We're carrying the flag and leading the charge of human togetherness and fun and joy through the music of Big Zephyr.
Perfect. Thank you. I would have been really remiss if I did not come back to that for both of you. Laura, how about you?
That's a tough act to follow.
I don't know. I'm willing to bet you'll do just fine.
I'm sitting here going, what do I do with that? For me, it's about the memories. I mean, I have 7 years of relations with some families where it was an engagement party that turned into a bridal shower, that was a wedding, that was a baby shower, that was a first birthday for that child. And I have relationships with these families. And I think it's important to build memories. I mean, I think about my own kids who are 30 and 27, and we used to take pictures when they were little, and people don't do that anymore. It's all on their cell phones, and there's no permanent memory. That's part of the reasons I take pictures of everything I do. And with my clients who are out of state, when I deliver something, I always take a picture of that person receiving it because they're so excited to have it. And then I text that back to the person who sent it because it makes them really happy to see it too. So to me, it's about memories. And I hate to say food is love because I'm a lifetime member of Weight Watchers.
But food is love.
It can be. And I think, and I also think to my corporate days where people, I can't give anybody a raise. There's no budget merit pool this year. And I'm like, you know, feed them. It doesn't cost much to feed them. Just if you don't even feed them, say thank you. Appreciate the people around you. So to me, food gifting is just one way to appreciate people and say, hey, I value you and I appreciate you and thank you for whatever you've done. Or, hey, you're going through a tough time type of thing. But I want to go back to David for a second because I think for me, the most important thing to come out of this is that people need to understand that the gap analysis he does is something he does free of charge for people. It's an hour of your time.
My.
And then the classes, I'm repeating, it's been 7 years. I'm repeating Ideal Client tomorrow because I'm a slow learner.
Also, is there a low fee for the classes as well?
Yes, there is.
Yeah.
I charge $25.
Oh, my goodness. You can't beat that.
Just because most people that really need it can't afford $99 or $149.
Like and not asking for a fee goes against everything that you've shared here today as a collective,
exactly.
Right? And obviously holds people accountable. So that's great to know. I didn't realize that this, I'll call it assessment. Tell me what the name of this.
Close the Gap.
Close the Gap is. That's wonderful that you mentioned that that is a gift. We do that not unsimilar when a guest has been here at the studio and they're like, okay, I'm curious, how could I have my own radio show and podcast? We do our show concept meeting and it's 60 minutes. Same thing, it's just a gift. And even if we're not the right platform for you, you will walk away having a really clear idea about how to reach
wow.
other folks that you want to get in front of. But giving first and giving always, I think, is the theme that all four of us have been sharing very subtly, but in everything that we've talked about today.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Very good.
Do we have 5 seconds?
You do have 5 seconds. And you have even more than that if you need
okay.
it.
Okay. Well, this is something that I found that I think is really important. And it goes to what I really see coaching as. And a bar of iron costs $5. Made into horseshoes, it's worth $12. Made into needles, it's worth $3,500. Made into balance springs for watches, it's worth $300,000. Your own value is determined by what you're able to make of yourself.
Isn't that awesome?
Yes. I'm going to have to ask for a copy of that before you walk out of here. I love it. Thank you so much, each of you, for sharing your morning with us. I just look forward to getting to know each of you better and, of course, sending your business your way. You've been listening to Business Radio X with... You've been listening to Phoenix Business Radio on Business Radio X. I know who I am, broadcasting live from within the Max 6 and Conscious Capitalism Arizona studio. Some media leans left, some lean right, and we lean business. Until next time, I'm Karen Nowicki.